Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds. We've got Greg Jennings with us this morning on a Tuesday. Got a great show for you today. Why is Nick all fired up about Tom Brady's latest misstep? We'll let you know. Eagles trying to explain why they drafted another quarterback, something the Patriots did not do. Pats seem to be all in on Stidham. Or are they? That's where we start this morning. Hey, there is a reason why 30-year-old Cam Newton has been linked to the Patriots as a possible replacement for Tom Brady. Not because the Patriots have said so. In fact, they've shown less than no interest in the former Panther quarterback, at least publicly. No, instead it's this. Our friends over at Fox Bet giving the Patriots the best odds to land Cam, moving up from plus 650 to minus 182 since the NFL draft. Now, Nick, I don't even know what those numbers mean or the first thing about gambling, but they seem to be a very big jump in a few days. What do you make of those odds, Nick?
Well, yeah, Jenna, to translate those odds in the simplest possible terms, what it means is a week ago, if you bet around $180 on the Patriots signing Cam Newton, you could win a little over $1,000. Now, if you bet $180 on the Patriots signing Cam Newton, you can win $100. They are massive odds changes, the likes of which you would only see in international tennis if there was thought the match was fixed. So why are we seeing all of this movement and all of this momentum potentially towards Cam joining the Patriots? The answer is, unfortunately, much to my morbid depression, it makes so much sense. From the Patriots' perspective, who are their options other than their current quarterback depth chart, which right now is the worst quarterback depth chart in the entire NFL? All 32 teams rank them. The team with the worst current quarterback depth chart is the New England Patriots. Their options are trade for Andy Dalton. He has $17 million owed to him. Trade for Jacoby Brissett. It's a more palatable contract. But because the contract's so palatable, you would probably have to give up a legitimate draft resource or sign a quarterback better than Dalton, better than Jacoby, and have to give up nothing, and you get to negotiate your own contract in Cam Newton. On Cam's side of things, why does it make sense? Well, who else needs a quarterback? Washington, maybe, but they traded for a different former Carolina Panther in Kyle Allen. They still have Dwayne Haskins, obviously, and I don't know if Cam wants to reunite with Ron Rivera. That then leaves New England and Jacksonville. And Jacksonville is still run by Dave Caldwell, even though Tom Coughlin's gone. It's still coached by Doug Marrone, and they still have no cogent offensive plan. So if I'm Cam Newton, the Patriots make the most sense. If I'm the Patriots, Wilds, Cam makes the most sense. Yeah. This makes sense for everyone.
Yep, keep going.
Except for me, who going to just put in a spiral of anger and depression. But Wilds, I don't see why this wouldn't happen at this point.
Well, I am tempering my expectations. We had a Tua Photoshop last week, and this week we've got the Cam Photoshop with the music. The only thing that really brings me joy here, Nick, if we could play the exciting music for you, is how upsetting it gets you. My actual emotions are a little bit different. I'm a little bit more tempered. I'm relaxed. I don't want to get too excited and have this not happen. Jenna, when I was a kid, we went on a family trip to the Bureau of Printing and Engraving. It's where they make all of the money.
Oh.
And it's like, wow, this is great. And you're so excited. You're seeing this like money roll off the printing press. And then you realize like, I'm not any closer to this money than I was when I was in Groton, Connecticut. Just feels like I'm closer. So that's, Jenna, that's the way I feel about Cam. I don't want to get too excited until it actually happens.
The other reason not to get too excited, and I mentioned it earlier, Greg, I'll mention it again. We haven't heard word one from the Patriots about this. There's been zero link or anything leaking from their organization. You wonder if there's a part of Bill Belichick that wants to show the world he can win without Tom Brady, without drafting a veteran quarterback, just doing it with the guys they have in-house to show that it's all him. But who knows? These odds are really, really big, though. What do you make of the numbers?
Well, for me, I understand and could understand the idea of Bill Belichick just wanting to win with what he has in-house to prove a point. However, when we look at his track record, all he's ever cared about was winning. And if you want to win, you have to ensure that you have the pieces that will allow and afford you to do that very thing. Cam Newton is, and I've said this before, I just don't see how they don't go and acquire Cam Newton for all the reasons that Nick mentioned. He's the one quarterback that you can go and grab, and you don't have to give up anything. You can just state your terms. He can agree to it. He can state his terms. You guys can come to a consensus and make the deal happen for a year, maybe two, but a year, and then see what comes of it. So it's a perfect situation for both. Cam Newton, obviously, it's not going to happen in Carolina. He's out there. Other quarterbacks are getting signed. Jameis Winston to the Saints. We look at Cam Newton. He's better than Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston just got a backup position job. He's not going to get a starting position job unless he goes somewhere and he earns that spot. Where that location is? New England. New England is that spot. And I believe that if Cam wants to win, he will understand that, look, I might have to take this one on the chin when it comes to dollars and cents, but on the back end, I will be better suited because of the winning that will correlate to my coming here.
All right, Greg, I totally get that. And Nick, from the Patriots' perspective, it seems like a no-brainer. They already have arguably, if not the thinnest quarterback chart in the NFL right now. But is this the smart move for Cam? Should Cam want this?
Oh, I think he absolutely should want this. Listen, this contract is going to suck for Cam no matter what. No matter what he's, whether it's with Jacksonville, the Patriots, or the Oakland, if they get in the sweepstakes, if they decide they've soured on Derek Carr, this contract is going to be for the least amount of money Cam Newton has earned in a season playing football since he was at Auburn. And so he's just going to have to deal with that part of it. It's going to suck, but it is going to be an investment in his future. And when you look at the potential quarterback landscape a year from now, I count a quarter of the teams in the league that might be in the quarterback marketplace next year. Not this offseason, but next offseason. The Colts, the Bears, the Raiders, the Steelers, the Broncos, Washington, the Saints, and the Niners, they all, in theory, could be looking for a quarterback next year. Nothing, the only way Cam is going to get paid is on his next contract, not this contract. So if you go to New England, rebuild some of your value, have the best coaching you've ever had, the best offensive system you've ever had, the most defensive help you've ever had. And if the Patriots were to sign Cam, again, I believe Cam right now is better than Brady. Brady had them last year. They were 12-3 with a lead with a minute left in the final game of the regular season, this close to a bye. The defense isn't going to be markedly worse than last year. If they were to sign Cam, to me, they become third or fourth in the AFC behind the Chiefs and the Ravens right there. So, yeah, to me, for Cam, you take the financial haircut this year and invest in your future for future years. I can't believe I'm advising this, but if I were advising Cam, I've said it before, $5 million in New England is worth more than $15 or $20 million in Jacksonville if you're thinking long-term, Greg Jennings.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And then you have to consider, you go to New England, if you're Cam Newton, he's 30, he'll be 31 next month, and he makes it work. There is not a team that would be on the quarterback market next year that will say, oh, he went to New England, it's not going to work for us. No, they're going to say just the opposite. Man, he went to New England, he cleaned things up, he was able to win, or whatever the case may be. Bill Belichick made it work. We can make it work. This is all positive for Cam Newton if he decides to go down this road. Because as an older quarterback in this league, or an older player in this league, there are not many options that you're going to have. The league gets younger every single year. And so you have to, as you alluded to, Nick, you got to chalk it up and make an investment. He's smart enough. He's made enough money right now. he can take this year and build back his resume and then go out and hand it out the following year and see what comes of it.
Wilds, it's hard to convince a guy to do that, though. Go take less money, even though you probably think you're worth more. You still think it's the right move for Cam?
Yeah, I think it'd be great for Cam. I think it'd be great for the Patriots. I'm going to throw the ball to Greg here because I want some clarity on the reason that I've been reading why Cam shouldn't come to New England. It's basically like the Patriots want to go with Hoyer and Stidham because they're familiar with the playbook. Do you think that that is an actual obstacle that Cam wouldn't be able to get over? Or do you think that Belichick, that this playbook is so complicated that you need years of studying it?
Yeah, with the New England Patriots, you definitely need some time to study that playbook. I had an opportunity to train with those guys and they worked me out and they took me through some of their plays. And I mean, it is literally like drawing up on a whiteboard different plays week in and week out. You need time to be in a system like that. But Cam has been around long enough. He would be able to learn that.
All right. Hey, still, if all goes according to plan, 4.5 months until the start of the regular season, plenty of time for both Cam to make a decision, if there's one to be made, and the Patriots to make one as well. Here, time for drawing a blank, and we'll kick things off with Dak Prescott, still without a long-term deal. Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson, none too happy about it either. LT saying, this should have happened a year ago. Nick, the Cowboys waiting to give Dak a deal is blank.
Myopic. It's incredibly short-sighted. Because to quote the great Marlo Stanfield, the price of the brick just keep going up. And listen, they don't have the temerity to walk away from Dak. They're going to sign him. And the longer they wait, they waited for Wentz and it went up. They waited for Goff, it went up. If they wait much longer, Patrick Mahomes is going to get his deal, and everyone thinks that's going to be a record-setting deal. But then Deshaun Watson's going to get to negotiate with Bill O'Brien. He'll probably get a third ownership of the franchise. So that's a $1 billion deal, and it's just going to keep going up, up, up. So for my money, it's myopic. Either draw a line in the sand that's actually in concrete and say, we're done negotiating. Play on the franchise tag. Or give him what he wanted a year ago. They've done neither. So, Greg, I call it myopic, short-sighted.
Yeah, this is Russian roulette, man. They're playing a dangerous, dangerous game. And they continue to not only just have one bullet in the handgun, but they now have two. They're continuing to add weapons. You get CeeDee Lamb alongside of Amari Cooper with Michael Gallup and Ezekiel Elliott and all these weapons. You're doing everything to make Dak Prescott better, essentially, will then afford him to have an even better season. And potentially you have a better season as an organization and a franchise. I don't like what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. I don't understand it, but I don't think any of us understand Jerry Jones from time to time. So I think we got to just roll and see what he does.
Jenna, I'm going with Deontay Wilder's wonderful costume. There's just too much weight around the Cowboys preseason for us to be dealing with this. Just get it done. Take the costume off. Give him the contract. Let's free him, free Dak up to get into the playbook and get his virtual workouts done or whatever he needs to do with Mike McCarthy. And let's get on with it. But this is just weighing down the Cowboys season. So, Jenna, I'm going with Deontay Wilder's costume.
I love it, but you guys are all wishing for the wrong thing. 40% of our show in the last year has been why the Cowboys haven't signed Dak Prescott. Let this thing keep going. We have more drama. I love it. On to the Green Bay Packers now. Who we learned yesterday were reportedly adamant about trading up to draft quarterback Jordan Love with the 26th overall pick. That despite already having arguably the best quarterback in the league and Aaron Rodgers. Nick, the Pack being adamant about drafting Love is blank.
Hyperopic. So that's the opposite of myopic. Everyone knows the term myopic means you're short-sighted. But what's the opposite? Hyperopic, long-sighted. You see what's way out in front of you really well, but you can't see what's right in front of your face. I think it's the problem Jenna has, although it's why she wears the bifocals. Focused on
bifocals.
Years
they're called
from
glasses.
Now that... they're so focused on years from now, they can't see right in front of their face is one of the most talented quarterbacks ever, coming off a year where they had the second best regular season of his career, the second best postseason of his career, and they are focused on the future so much they are being negligent towards the here and the now. Here's a stat for you. Aaron Rodgers has one career touchdown pass to a first-round pick. It was Mercedes Lewis last year, who was a first-round pick for a different franchise. And so they once again are being negligent about what they need to address. So I say they're being hyperopic, Greg, too focused on the long term, not enough focused on the short term.
Well, to me, this is not surprising. You're obviously going to back your pick and your selection and where you decide to go with that. And for me, Nick, I disagree. I don't think that they're looking too far down the road. I think they understand what they have with Aaron Rodgers, but they want to secure what they have moving past that. Now, Aaron Rodgers says something about the Green Bay Packers in free agency this offseason. They didn't need much because they have pretty much what they need. I'm paraphrasing, but he understands that we're close. We don't need to add a whole lot. We don't need to do a whole lot. Did they need another weapon? Yeah, we all know that. But also, they know executive-wise upstairs that they have a really good team, and they want to sustain that success that they have created. And this future starts now for them with a young quarterback that can be in-house with Aaron Rodgers still in his prime, and he's going to be the guy. We all know that. That can help and assist this young man, Love, with sustaining the success that we've seen Aaron Rodgers take over from Brett Favre.
Okay. Jenna, I'm going with declassified UFOs. The Navy declassified some UFO footage. And it's like, yeah, thanks for the clarification there, but it still doesn't make a total amount of sense, and I'm still pretty confused by the whole thing. So I'm going declassified UFOs.
I like it. All right. And for Nick,
I feel like you could have gone further there.
Wally. Glasses. No glasses.
Well, I just think that Greg, no, I was actually thinking
enough
about what Greg said.
Enough with the bifocal jokes.
Like, does that make sense? Greg kind of convinced me, and I was like,
where's
back
the monocle,
and
Jenna?
While I was talking.
Jenna, where's the monocle that you wear on the weekends?
What am I, Mr. Peanut? On to Joe Burrow now. The Bengals' first overall pick's about to get paid with details of his rookie contract coming out. Get this. 4-year deal. Worth over $36 million. That is exactly $35.988 million more than I made as my first job as a sports reporter in Binghamton, New York. Big hair, bad outfits.
Oh,
not
Binghamton.
Important. Nick, Burrow's first big purchase with all that money should be blank.
By the way, hey, for kids coming out of college, according to Jenna's numbers, first-time reporters in Binghamton make $212,000 a year. So that's a job I'd go after.
No, did I do
you
that
maybe
wrong?
Had a
There's no way
yeah.
I did that wrong.
Yeah,
I
you did that. Definitely did that wrong. Definitely did it wrong, Jenna. You said 35 point something. It's 36 point something. So I don't think that's what your starting salary was, but maybe I'm wrong. But okay, I wasn't there. I didn't graduate from college in the 70s, so maybe there was maybe salaries were off the charts. All right, so now to answer the question. Nope, you can't, you blew it. What Joe Burrow's first big purchase should be acreage. Now this for a number of reasons. One is the old cliche, God ain't making more land, so buy it now. Sure, fine. But also because during these social distancing quarantine times, we're seeing across sports, guys who have their own gyms, their own fields, their own land can practice and train a lot better than guys who don't. And what I don't want Joe Burrow to have to do is to follow in the footsteps of one Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, who has to break into people's houses and trespass on public parks during this time. Brady wouldn't have to do that if he had acreage, if he had his own land, not just with the conch shell to call Gronk, but to actually practice. So acreage is what Joe Burrow should buy in Cincinnati, Greg Jennings.
Look, I'm going to be short and sweet here because it's simple. He should buy himself a win. He said he's not a loser. He better buy a win because I don't know the next time we'll see him in the win column. Joe Burrow, get yourself a win, man.
Ouch.
Love that, Jeez. Greg.
Wow.
Love that.
Greg, tough.
tough from Greg. I'm going with Peyton Manning's biography. Peyton went 3-13 first year. Second year went 13-3. Also had quite a lucrative endorsement career. And we saw that Baker Mayfield had the fourth best-selling jersey. I think Burrow has got such a big personality. He's going to shoot up the ranks and become an endorsement star, too. So I'm going with Peyton Manning's biography.
I can see that. I can see all of that. All right, moving on nice. To Tom Brady. The aforementioned Tom Brady.
Here we go.
So the Bucs' new 42-year-old quarterback is fully embracing his new Tampa Bay surroundings, posting his swaggy, tatted-up look on Instagram. Tampa treating Tampa good so far. Nick Brady's new alter ego is blank.
It's felonious. And unlike yesterday, I'm going to say it's literally felonious, and I'm using literally correctly. Because ever since he's been warm weather Tampa Brady, whatever the hell he's calling himself, what's he done? Well, I already mentioned he trespassed on a public park. He should have a B&E beef coming soon for breaking into that guy's house next to Leftwich. And by the way, speaking of when he was trying to go visit Byron Leftwich, if we want to talk about NFL felonies, I thought players and coaches weren't allowed to have contact with each other right now. So why was Tom Brady trying to visit his offensive coordinator? Is part of the Patriot way he took with him from New England to Tampa, cheating and breaking all the rules and daring the NFL to do anything? I mean, I don't know. People are just asking these questions. And I would think Brady, who's already been suspended once for a quarter of a season for rules violations, falls under the repeat offender category. So I do wonder if this ever gets off the ground or if he's got a 16-game beef coming his way for, you know, trying to visit with Leftwich before it was allowed. So felonious, Greg, is my answer, with or without the tattoos. I'm not tattoo shaming anybody. Well, there's one Patriot tattoo shame, but that's a different day. But go ahead.
This is Cisco, Unleash the Dragon album cover. Over 20 years ago, like, he went solo.
That's a great one.
Brady is going solo. He's gone straight Cisco. Look at that. I'm telling you, straight you look at Cisco's Unleash the Dragon cover. He had a few very good songs on there. I'm not going to even say what they were, but this is Brady. There you go. This is Brady, Unleash the Dragon, Cisco.
And bring us back to reality, Miles.
I think we're only talking about Cisco. Oh, sure. I think it's a solid look for him. I think it's an actual good look. I actually ran the numbers on neck tattoos. If we can put up the stats here, most neck tattoos look great. The fact that that Photoshop had Brady with a neck tattoo, if you look at it, Nick, I know you're a numbers guy, 94.5% of neck tattoos are good look. Only 2% come in at uncool and 3% about undecided. So I think if Tom Brady went along with a neck tattoo, I actually think it's a solid look for him.
Well, I'm also considering those numbers tattoo. Do look official.
That's a take.
Those numbers do look official. And Jenna, you don't have to worry. Those add up to 100. So you don't need your phone or your calculator for any math on this one. Wild's numbers add up, unlike your Binghamton entry salary of
$212,000.
You nailed it.
We gotta go.
I'm across the
Carson.
State.
I made $12,000. I was only off by $100,000. That's not that much.
$200,000.
No, it's less than $100,000. It's less than $100,000. $90,000. Forget it. We're gonna take a break. Back here on First Things First with Greg Jennings. So the Philadelphia Eagles shocked everyone by drafting Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts in the second round. I say shocked because they already have a quarterback who they already paid in Carson Wentz. The move prompted head coach Doug Peterson to say this: "When I spoke to Carson, I wanted him to understand we value the quarterback position extremely high. I wanted him to know he's our starter. He's the face of the Eagles. He's our franchise. He's the guy who is hopefully going to take us back to the Super Bowl." Nick, are you buying Doug Peterson's reassurance?
Well, this is weird because I like Carson Wentz a lot. I like the idea of Jalen Hurts. I love Doug Peterson. I think he's one of the most forward-thinking coaches in the NFL. But one thing Doug has always struggled with is messaging. I don't know. He doesn't always get his words exactly right. And this is one of those situations where I think he would have been in far better shape saying nothing than saying what he did. Because I don't think anyone thought when they drafted Jalen Hurts, oh, Carson Wentz is on the clock. Oh, clearly they drafted Jalen Hurts to replace Carson Wentz, who 9 months ago they gave a record-breaking extension to. So why say this? To use an anecdote, a lot of the viewers of FS1, first time, in fact, all the viewers of FS1, first time they ever saw me was when I was filling in for Colin Cowherd. Everyone knew that I was only there for when Colin was sick or on vacation. But if a week after they hired me, they sent out a press release, we want to make this very clear. Nick Wright is not here to replace Colin Cowherd. All of a sudden, people be like, wait, what? Well, I didn't think he was, but maybe he is. So I don't know why they felt the need to say this, Wilds. Like, to me, this is Carson Wentz's team. Jalen Hurts is there to supplement that and to help out if Carson gets hurt or to help out on some of the trick plays, two-point conversions Philly likes so much. But I don't think this statement needed to be said, Kevin.
I like the statement that the Eagles, that Yahoo reported that they would use Jalen Hurts as Taysom Hill on steroids. I thought that was perfect because then you're like, great, we have maybe a backup quarterback who you love so much, Nick, and we just have a crazy gadget guy who can do a ton of things. I was talking about our producer, Katanik. I said, Katanik, here's where I'm at in my quarantine phase. I'm looking at buying a Honda Z50. It's a small motorcycle that I can zip around the neighborhood in. Why? I have no idea. I can barely change my windshield wipers, but now I want to rebuild a bike. Not because it's going to replace the Jeep, just because it will be fun. If we could throw up the graphic, Doug Peterson likes to have fun. The guy leads the league in fourth down attempts. He leads the league in two-point attempts, and he leads the league in two-point conversions. So, hey, he could have come out, Nick, and said, Jalen's our guy. Carson's our guy. Jalen's kind of like our fun guy, and maybe eventually we'll have him as a backup. But, Jenna, I think it's a great move. I'm happy that Jalen's on the team, and I think it's just a fun addition to the Eagles.
Well, listen, Nick, you said Jalen Hurts is there, you know, if Carson Wentz gets hurt. Greg, Carson Wentz gets hurt. That's what he's done. That's what he does. I don't know. Do you buy Doug Peterson's reassurance?
Yeah, I buy it. To Nick's point, it didn't need to be said, but, you know, something always feels good when it is said publicly and specifically to the individual. So I'm positive that Carson Wentz appreciated it. However, we know the track record that Carson Wentz has, and that's him being injured. We also realize that their only Super Bowl that they've won with Carson Wentz being on the team was with him not under center. It was Nick Foles. So they've been in a position where Carson Wentz has been spectacular and then gone down to injury, and they had to rely on their second quarterback, who was Nick Foles, who still got the job done. If you listen, there was an interview that Howie Roseman did, and he talked about their philosophy with quarterback, and he talked about them not allowing one position, whether it be offensive lineman, quarterback, whatever that position is, to derail them in achieving and accomplishing their goal. I love this philosophy. I love this mentality. No receiver or no running back or no any other position on the team would feel like, what? They just took another running back? What? They took another wide receiver? I never once felt like that every time the Green Bay Packers drafted a receiver, because I understood it was for the betterment of the team. So when you look at these teams that decide to do what the Philadelphia Eagles has done and then say to their quarterback, you're still our guy, it's like, look, relax. You know you're our guy. We want to make sure everyone knows you're our guy, just in case they forgot we just gave you this contract extension. But we also want to ensure that if anything were to happen to you, which we hope does not happen, we are still going to accomplish the goals that we set out. I love it.
I understand that. But, Nick, let me ask you this. I think something like that could give a guy like Carson Wentz a bit of a complex. There's a statue of the guy that basically went in there when he was injured and won a Super Bowl outside the stadium there. Doug Peterson has to come out and be like, you're our guy, you're the man, you're the franchise, but we drafted another quarterback. I don't know, between that and what happened with Nick Foles, you don't think a guy like Carson Wentz can get a little bit of a complex? Maybe that affects him going into the season?
Well, if it affects him, then he's not the guy I think he is. Like, this is, I put this in the same bucket as the media distraction. I mean, the idea that these pro athletes are so emotionally and mentally fragile that anything that upsets the homeostasis, they're not going to be able to handle, I just reject, as certainly not for the guys who I think can be league MVP caliber talents, such as Carson Wentz. And I just think this is being viewed through the wrong prism. Now, I was skeptical on Jalen Hurts as an everyday starting quarterback in this league, and I still am, which is why I think Philly is such a great spot for him. They have a solidified, young, under-contract franchise quarterback, and they will use Jalen in other ways, and then he can be break glass in case of emergency, in case Carson gets hurt. And I'm going to have a gratuitous name drop here, I apologize, but I talked with Lil Wayne, who is Jalen Hurts' agent.
Lil Wayne!
The moment after this pick came in. No, he's represented by Lil Wayne. And about why this is such a good fit. And Wilds, it's exactly what you said. It's because of the way Doug Peterson tries to use the whole 53-man roster on game day. It's because of the fourth down attempts. It's because of the two-point conversion attempts. So I know Jalen and his representation feel like they are in the perfect spot. And it's not because they think they're going to unseat Carson Wentz. So I don't think Carson Wentz should be concerned that, oh, they drafted a backup. Every team needs a backup, even teams who don't run two-point conversions and whose teams whose quarterback doesn't seemingly get hurt once a year. So I just, Wilds, to me, it makes perfect sense. And I'm not worried that Carson Wentz is going to have some inferiority complex about it, Wilds.
No, I agree with you. And first of all, to address your name drop, I got a very important piece of advice from Robert De Niro, and he said, never name drop. So you can just take that and file that one away, Nick. I also think just as far as the dynamic between quarterbacks goes, I feel like they're already off to like a great footing. Carson Wentz tweeted at Jalen, welcome to the best football city in America. Jalen Hurts tweets right back, so excited to get to learn from you in Philly. Let's go to work. Greg, Jalen Hurts, by all accounts, is just a wonderful, wonderful guy. We saw him lose his starting job and be great with Tua and be the ultimate teammate. To me, it should be no issue in Philadelphia that Jalen is just going to be the paramount teammate to Carson Wentz and help support him and learn from him.
I agree. I love the situation for Jalen Hurts. I love the situation for Carson Wentz because he's going to be pushed, but he's going to be the leader in that locker room and in that quarterback room to help guide and to help bring back another championship to Philly. And if you look across the league, how many opportunities do these guys behind the starting quarterback get? They get quite a bit. And how often do we see them fail? How often do we see teams not prepared for their starting quarterback to go down? And it ruins what they thought they were going to accomplish in the year. Look at the Green Bay Packers, and everyone wants to poo-poo what they've done and what they did this last week in the draft with drafting Love behind Aaron Rodgers. They're doing the same thing. They're making sure that if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers, we're going to be okay. And I love the fact that you mentioned his relationship with Tua after getting his job taken from him in the national championship game, but still having the poise and the posture and the leadership skills to stand tall and be who they needed him to be in those moments as a peer that was going to support Tua. This is going to be a great situation for Jalen Hurts.
All right, Nick, let me ask you this. If Carson Wentz does stay healthy, and he's the guy we saw play last year leading the Eagles, and then you have a gadget guy like Hurts right there as well, are these two the guys, or is Carson Wentz the guy that can lead this Eagles team to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think Carson Wentz has to play better than he played last year. I think he has to play more like he did in year two before he got injured, and we have to see if that Carson Wentz can reappear because we haven't seen him for a couple of seasons. I know some Eagle fans disappointed. They didn't get CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys, a few spots ahead of them, did. And then they reached a bit. I think some people feel with Jalen Reagor, instead of taking one of the more accomplished collegiate wide receivers when everyone knew they were going to have to take a wide receiver with their first round pick. But to me, this is a very clear two-team race. The Giants are not ready. Washington is in permanent rebuild mode. And I do think Dallas improved more than Philly this offseason. I think Gerald McCoy's addition for Dallas is huge. I obviously love the CeeDee Lamb addition, and Dallas really did a great job if you look at value at every round of the draft. So for Philadelphia, as has been the case the last few years, how healthy will they be? Will that defensive front get back to the level it was at the Super Bowl year? And is Carson Wentz going to be the 9th or 10th best quarterback in football, or the 4th or 5th best quarterback in football? If they get positive answers to all those questions, then absolutely they can be the team a lot of people picked to go to the Super Bowl last year, but it's a lot of questions they need to answer. But I do think, Jenna, that Jalen Hurts helps them along the way more than the typical backup quarterback, because unlike Green Bay's backup quarterback, who they hope never sees the field this year, I believe, Jenna, they're going to have packages installed and plays installed to get Jalen Hurts on the field.
That's right. Just like they do down in New Orleans there with Taysom Hill. All right, let's take a break. Well, Chiefs owner Clark Hunt said, quote, there's a possibility or a tendency to have a letdown after you win a championship. Oh, it's an argument as old as time.
Great
do
video.
Super Bowl hangovers follow a win or a loss, or perhaps both? Greg, you expect a Super Bowl hangover from the Chiefs?
I don't. I really don't. And one thing I don't like, I think it's always ironic how we show the team celebrating immediately following them winning the Super Bowl, but then months after we show that same footage and start talking about hangover. It's a little ironic, but
I love it.
They're not going to have a hangover.
It's great for this thing.
Teams have to understand this. And like, no, fans have to understand this. When you win and you are a young team, you still feel like you have more to accomplish. You think the window is wide open. You think everything is there for the taking. It's just about taking it. And I love the position that the Kansas City Chiefs are in, specifically because they have all their skill guys. I mean, we talked about it before on this show about the amount of starters that they have returning back on this team. So they have the team to put this back together, and the quarterback. I don't see it being an issue.
Oh, Nick. I think Greg is actually making the point that it is an issue, that they think it's wide open, and maybe they're losing a little bit of that grind that makes them go out and work hard. And when you look at your favorite franchise, your hero franchise, the New England Patriots, we take a year off.
Oh.
15, take a year off. 17, take a year off. 19, take a year off. Then we'll come right back. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I would be worried if I were you.
Okay, so I'm not worried. I obviously shouldn't be worried. There's no they're bringing everyone back in an offseason where we don't know if everyone's going to have an offseason. The Chiefs have continuity. They have Andy Reid. They have the quarterback. We know all of this. But there is some breaking news out of Kansas City. The longest tenured Chief ever, a future Chief Ring of Honor member, Hunter Dustin Colquitt, has just been released by the team after 15 years with the franchise. And while that's sad for me, because nobody has ever worn a Chiefs jersey more times than Dustin Colquitt, this is where the breaking news comes in. And credit to Adam Teicher for breaking that part of the story. I'm going to spin the story forward and break another part of it. I am hearing the Chiefs' plan for replacing Colquitt is not to carry a punter this year, to try to see what can happen.
Okay.
Just no punts. They're going to go for fourth downs, maybe try to get even the playing field a bit.
Greg,
so in honor of Justin Colquitt this year, no punter whatsoever for the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and we'll see how that works out. So no worry about a letdown. No worry about the punting. No worry about anything for the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs.
I love that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No problem.
On to some hoops now. After 28 years, Isaiah Thomas says he is still disappointed over being left off the 1992 Dream Team. Still sings 28 years later. Nick, surprised Isaiah still upset about this?
No, listen, I'm not surprised he's still upset. He still should be upset. He was a top five player in the league, and he got left off the Dream Team because of petty grievances by other players, most notably Jordan. It was ridiculous. I was surprised, though, yesterday when I saw on Twitter legendary Hall of Fame writer Bob Ryan taking a shot at me. Now, Bob, I defended Isaiah on the show yesterday by saying he had no other elite offensive teammates. I am correct on that. Bob Ryan says, I've managed to get this far without knowing who Nick Wright is, but someone should tell him Isaiah was one-third of the greatest three-man backcourt in history. Has he ever heard of Dantley or Aguirre? Couple points to my friend Bob Ryan, and we hashed this out on the radio yesterday. First of all, he absolutely knows who I am because I've interviewed him a half dozen times and we're friendly. Second of all, I have heard of Dantley and Aguirre. Should be noted, they were traded for each other, so they never played together, and the Pistons never won a title with Dantley until they made that trade. So, Bob Ryan, a little misleading with the second clause of the tweet, totally misleading with the first clause of the tweet, which, Wilds, you know what that makes me want to say? With respect, old people be lying.
Oh, no. Here
Bob
it comes.
Bob Ryan. Old. Oh. Lying. Old people be lying.
No,
Bob Ryan. Why do you got to do that?
Oh,
try to make it look like we're not friends, Bob Ryan,
that
for a little
ain't great,
Twitter
Nick.
Clout. Wilds,
that ain't great,
old
Nick.
People be lying. Old people be lying.
Okay. Greg, you know what is the worst sign of interpersonal relationships? When someone claims they don't know who you are, and then you go and claim, we're friends. We're friends. We just had you on the radio.
We're
show.
Very
we're,
friendly.
We're actually friends. Not only do you
he
know who I
it.
Am, we're
it.
Friends. Nick, you shouldn't admit that you're friends
it.
With someone. That's a bad sign.
Well,
admit you're
happened.
Friends with me.
It happened.
Admit it. I'm sorry. Greg, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas should be disappointed. The Dream Team was an opportunity of a lifetime. He deserved to be on that team. Nick, you mentioned it, one of the best players in the league. And his team was winning. He should have been on that team. It was sickening for a Michigander like myself to see him not make that roster.
All right, let's move on now. To Washington, who drafted 6'5" defensive end Chase Young with that second overall pick of the draft, but they may want to wait to put his official height on the roster. Chase Young said, it's a possibility I could grow late. Greg, is that a thing? And how dangerous could he be if he's still growing?
I mean, I don't need him to grow anymore. I really don't care if he does grow anymore. He is probably going to be the defensive player of the year. Yes, I said it. Yes, Chase Young, he has that type
nice.
Of upside
wow.
and impact. I love everything about this young man. If he grows, it only adds to his value of what he brings on that gridiron.
Nick, this story reminds me a little bit of The Last Dance. So I thought it was fascinating. Out of the starting five in The Last Dance, both Pippen and Rodman had super late growth spurts while they were in college, and they kept their athleticism. So the fact that this might happen to Chase Young, I think, is just fascinating.
Well, and I can go more contemporary NBA. That's what happened to Giannis. Giannis was drafted at 6'9".
Yeah.
He's now 6'11". Chase Young just turned 21 years old. His dad had a late growth spurt, he said. And he said doctors told him his growth plates aren't closed. So I do think he's going to continue to grow. I don't know if he wants to grow too much. I think, you know, Julius Peppers is probably the upper bound for a height of an all-time great defensive end. But I'm with Greg that he has defensive player of the year upside. I like that he's still growing. And anytime you can have a comp to Giannis, it's a good one. So I'm all in on this story. I like it a lot, Jenna.
All right. Finally, this morning, speaking of NFL players, 20 NFL teams and one married 40-something mother of two began their virtual offseason programs yesterday. Here's here's what happened. Our guy, our statistician, Dusty, sent me Chiefs All-Pro tight end Travis Kelce's workout, asked if I could do it. What do you think I did? Took it as a challenge because that's what I do. Have you met me? 24 hours later, check out those numbers. Greg, thankfully, I'm not the only one who posts workout selfies. You are right there with me. You know you are. But what about those numbers? I mean, I'm not saying it's NFL material, but come on. Give me something.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, there
look
we
at
go.
That guy. Look at
you
that
know
guy.
That guy doesn't actually look like that anymore. I need to update that, Nick, just for you. I need to update that just for you. I'm trying not to bust out of my shirt. But no, Nick, Jenna, that's impressive. I wouldn't doubt you when it comes to training and workout and competing. You would knock a lot of things out of the park when it comes to that.
Nick, Jenna gave me one of her workouts, and I tried to complete it, and I totally failed. And I had to actually come hat in hand. I said, Jenna, the workout was too hard. So I think... You could try to get one of Jenna's workouts, Nick, but you know your first step is probably removing the nicotine patch that you've worn for 11 years before you start to take off.
Listen, Jenna, I was so excited for this to end the show, to give you credit. And then you said, look at the numbers. And I'm looking at the numbers, and he crushed you in the mile, crushed you in the push-ups, crushed you in the sit-ups. And that's maybe all expected. He's a pro athlete, as you mentioned.
He did
you're
a middle-aged sit-up than I did.
Too. But burpees are supposed to be your thing.
I can go all day.
Burpees, you claim to be the best in the world.
First
at
of all, Travis I hate Kelce, to call him out. Nick, I'm not calling him out.
I mean,
there's no way the guy did it in 50 seconds. Oh, I'm not even going to send the show off the air. No, not calling him out. No, don't end the show.